Okay, we're up to Simon Shin Nun Zayin, Se'if Beis. It's page 418 in the Dirshu Mishnah Brewers. Shin Nun Zayin, Se'if Beis. Biv, Shemuchusa Arba Amos B'meshach Rishos HaRabim, the Yesh Bo Arba Al Arba. Okay, so we are continuing the issue of the problem of pouring water, wastewater, from one's home into the courtyard. What's the problem? The problem is that if the courtyard is small, the water will flow from the courtyard into the Rishus HaRabim. And you are causing water to flow from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, even though Minatoyah there is nothing wrong, because you're not doing it directly, it's only happening indirectly. Chazal have enacted that this is forbidden, because once you do it indirectly, next week you'll come to do it directly. So what was the solution? Well, we learned last week, the solution is either you make sure your courtyard is larger than 4 by 4 amas. If a courtyard is larger than 4 by 4 amas, then we could assume that the water is not going to seep into the Rishus HaRabim. Or if it's less than 4 by 4 amas, you create for yourself a biv. A biv is what we call modern times a cesspool, a little pit where the water will flow, and even if this pit flows into the Rishus HaRabim, it's okay, because as long as you cover it, because being that it's a pit in the Rishus HaRabim, it's covered, it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim, it is a Mekoyim Pitur. Now we discuss a new case. We discuss the case, we see the picture on the left side, we have a bib, and the bib flows all the way into the biv extends into the Rishus HaRabim, Dalid Amos, and is covered with boards. And the person, as you see, is pouring the water in his courtyard, and the water goes directly from where he pours into the Rishus HaRabim. So the biv Shemuchutza Arba Amos B'Meshach Rishus HaRabim, the Yeshvay Arba Al Arba, and is 4 by 4 wide, Mutu Lishvach Afilu Al Adiv Afilu Mosachama, you're permitted to pour the water in the biv, even in the summertime, even though the water, the problem is that when the water gets to the end of the biv in the Rishus HaRabim, it's going to overflow and come out and overflow into the Rishus HaRabim itself. So yeah, that's the same problem. You're pouring the water, you're sitting in the Rishus HaYochid, you're pouring the water into this tunnel, and the water gets to the end of the tunnel, what will happen? It will come out and it will flow into the Rishus HaRabim. So it's forbidden. When is it permitted? If the biv, the tunnel, is 4 amos long, and it's 4 amos wide, that means the water will never reach the end of the tunnel. And the problem is, when the water comes to the end of the tunnel, it will flow into, you don't really, the picture doesn't show you, but at the end of the tunnel, the water will, it comes to surface. It comes to the part where you're pouring is below ground. At the end of the Dalet Amos, the water it levels out with the Rishus HaRabim. So if the water continues to flow continuously, when it gets to the end, it's going to overflow and fall into the Rishus HaRabim. You have been pouring water then from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. But if the tunnel is at least 4 amos long and 4 amos wide, that is equivalent to the area where the water settles. The water will not travel, not make it to the end of the tunnel, and you have nothing to worry about. It is permitted. When is it forbidden? If the surface of the tunnel is not earth, the surface of the tunnel is cement, or it's some type of board, it's wood, hard wood, where the water is not absorbent. So then the water flows. Then if it flows, you have to be concerned, of course, that it will reach the end of the tunnel, of this pool, and come to the surface, and flow into the Rishus HaRabim. So let me just read those words one more time very quickly. We have over here the second line, Vavach lo yehei silon shel eitz, as long as you don't have a silon. Silon here means a board of wood. That's the ground, that is the bottom part of the, like a pipe of wood, where the water flows through this bib. She'ein hamayim ru'im levloa. This pipe of wood, the water will not absorb into this material, and then when it reaches the end of the Dalet Amos, it will come to the surface, and you will have directly poured water from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. Avalim also came in Ritzbosh Shel Avonim. But if the surface of this cesspool in the picture is stone, then mavliim, then we assume that the surface will absorb the water, the shari, it's motu lechatchil to pour the water, like in this picture, from your end of your courtyard, and there's nothing to be concerned because the water will never reach you and will never overflow. Period. Ula harambam, the Rambam disagrees. He holds afilu hoy arich abiv oyahatzinor me'ama lo yishboich al piv bimosachama. He disagrees. You're not allowed, even if it's 100 amos long, you're not allowed. El shayfei chutz lebiv behem yardim lab. I'm going to explain it 100%. In this picture, what do we see? What is a person doing in this picture? It's a very excellent picture. You see him pouring the water directly into the bib, and the water flows down that tunnel. At the end of the tunnel, it flows into the Rishus Saradim. The Mechaber, not the Rambam, says it is mutter lechatchila to do this on Shabbos. You're pouring water, you're standing in a Rishus HaYachid, the water may end up in the Rishus Saradim. It's mutter lechatchila, because being that this tunnel is 4 amos long and 4 amos wide, it will absorb within that area and will never overflow into the Rishus Saradim. And if it does, by accident, it's not your fault. You didn't directly, really, there's nothing wrong, because you only done this indirectly. You're not pouring the water directly into the Rishus Saradim, you're pouring into the bib. So there's nothing wrong, nothing can possibly happen, even in the rear event. That something goes wrong and it does fall into the Shalim, it was Shalim Mischavin. And anyway, you have not an Amlocha Deraisa, because it only happened through your Koyach. The Rambam says, I know, you're correct, everything is fine, but I want to make one more Gezerah. I want to put up one more barrier to protect you from doing a Malacha Deraisa. And that is, don't pour the water directly into the bib like you see in this picture. Let the person pour the water on the courtyard, right in front of the bib, on the tiles. Let that little man in that picture, let him step back 2 steps and pour the water on the floor, on the surface of the courtyard. It will fall, it will then spill into the bib, and then the bib will go down the tunnel, and being the tunnel is made from earth, and it's 4 amos long and 4 amos wide, it will be absorbed within the area, there's no concern. But the Rambam does not allow you to directly pour the water into the bib, even though they have all of the conditions of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam is machmir. Let's see those words. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, afilu hoy arich habib oya tzinar, even if it's a chumar, even if the bib is 100 amos long, and for sure the water will be absorbed in the bib and will never come to the surface of the Rishus Rabin, it does not matter, because you're pouring it directly into a dangerous rishus underneath the rishus sarabim. Even in the summertime, when you want to make sure your courtyard does not get dirty, you have to put on the floor. Then the Rambam continues. The Mishnah Berurah, explains really there should not be a hefsek. Over here it's Simon Gimel, Siv Gimel. Really, you can just continue. These are the words of Rambam. When is the Rambam machmir? That's where this little tunnel, this cesspool, is underneath the Rishus Sarabim. And at the end of the cesspool, it comes to surface in the Rishus Saram. But if this is not, you take out of the picture from Rishus Saram Carmelis, then even the Rambam agrees that it's mutu lechatchil to pour the water directly into the bib, because what's the worst scenario? The worst scenario is the water will overflow and come into the Carmelis, going from Rishus to the Carmelis. Anyways, only also the Midrabanan. Mutu lishbach al pi habiv. Period. Now the Ramah follows up a couple of halachas. The Dafka Carmelis she toich le'ir. Now the Ramah is going back to the Mechaber. That's what the Mishnah Berurah explains. He's referring back to the Mechaber. Mechaber is machmir. The Mechaber says, "Watch out! Don't do this. Don't do." I'm sorry. The other way. The Mechaber is lenient. So the Mechaber is lenient, and the Mechaber says you can pour. The Mechaber is lenient. And the Mechaber says you can pour the water directly into the bib, and the water can flow. The water will flow. V'dafka karmelis shehi tocho ir. Let me just make sure I'm saying. Wait, I skipped. I'm sorry, I skipped. Afilu sachama haga v'yesh. I'm sorry, I skipped. Mutar lishrach al pi abib v'afilu sachama. Let's see the haga. Haga. The Yesh Oimim, the Ein Chilik Ben Karmelis L'Rishus Harabim. Now the Hagah is going back. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Hagah, the Yesh Oimim, Chav Dalit, the Ein Chilik After Na Naktina Ledina Afilu Kshamayim Yotzim L'Rishus Harabim Mutar Bebiv, Kmoshe Shekosavlu, Mikol Mokom Naftalina, the Yesh Oimim, Hazer, Lin Silon Shel Eitz. So this Haggah is going back on the Shulchan Aruch. The Yeisham the Ein Chilik Ben Karmelis LeRishus Harabim. Wait, this is the Rambam. I'm confused. This is going back on the Rambam, or this is going on?
The Machaber doesn't mention Karmelis. It's the Rambam that mentions Karmelis. So on the other page where it says Dafka Karmelis here, that goes back on the Rambam.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Right. So this Haggah is a continuation of the Rambam. Haggah. So let's go back to the previous page, page 418 on the Haggah, beginning of the Haggah. So the Rambam is machmir. The Rambam says, do not pour the water into the bib, because the water may end up in the Rishus Saram. And the only time we can be lenient, the Rambam says, is only when you're going into a Karmelis. Now the Haggah says, no. Even according to the Rambam, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a Karmelis or Rishus from the Rambam. Even the Rambam is always machmir. Never do what this guy is doing. And this little picture, this little man that's pouring water into it, never do this. Even if the area outside is a Karmelis. The Yesh Omrim, the Inchilik Ben Karmelis, the Rishus Haravim. Now along comes the Haggah, and even the Rambam, that's machmir by a Karmelis, there are different types of Karmelis. What do we mean? Different types of environments. The Davka Karmelis Shi Tocha Ir. What kind of Karmelis would the Rambam be machmir not allow you to pour the water into the bib?
Excuse me, the Chafalak is not talking about the Rambam. You look at the Mishnah Berura.
So he applies this to our situation as well.
The Siyam Devar Rambam. Gam Didon.
Right, he gives an example. He gives an example.
Now when he's coming here, Karmelis, it's not against the Rambam, it's against his Joshua Gam Didon.
So but he's only what he's done in a very specific case.
Well, it's
only
not the Rambam that Chaf Dalet is disputing. It's not the Rambam, it's the Dei Rishona.
I think it's both. It's both. Let's see Chaf Dalet. You're right. You're saying something. Let's see Chaf Dalet. Afilu hoy oyech habib v'rotz lo'amash oyech habib v'chotzer mei amo v'shir zer. It's not that Rambam. We say afilu didon. Afilu didon.
Chaf Dalet. The Medivar Mamorim. It says, "See him today around him." The Gam LeDidon, Naf Kimin Ebezer. I know him. I've been by Shalei.
Well, I don't know which Mishnah was Sifkan. Oh, Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel. Okay. There's nothing for us. Let's say, like the case with the Mechaber prohibits. When the Mechaber.
She talks about
Karmelis
further on.
Right. Fine. But there's one. I don't want to get into that detail. There's a nafkamina for us, even where we are. Machmir, even though we are generally lenient, there is a situation where we also must be machmir. When must we be machmir? Where the water will the silon is not earth, but it's wood, so it's going to flow for a great distance. Okay, we'll come back to this in a second. But let's just first get what the Rambam says. The Rambam says it is forbidden, categorically forbidden, to pour water directly into the bib, like you see in the picture over here. The picture over here, the person is taking water from a shliach and is pouring it into a tunnel, into a cesspool that flows directly underneath the Rishus HaRabim, and there's a concern it may overflow and come out into the Rishus HaRabim. So the Mechaber is lenient. The Mechaber generally, okay, he is an exception. What you're referring to is the exception where the ground is hard. But generally speaking, the Mechaber says that where the ground of the cesspool is earth, it's porous, it's absorbent, the Mechaber is lenient. You can do what this person in the picture is doing. The Rambam says, no way, don't do this. Because if you do this, there's a concern the water will flow into the Rishus HaRabim. Now the Rambam says, when will I be lenient? When will I allow you to do this? If the area outside is not a Rishus HaRabim, but it is a Karmelis. It's a Karmelis. And then the Haggah says, no, even in the Rambam, not necessarily we will be lenient. Karmelis is also awesome. The only time the Rambam is lenient in the Karmelis is when you're dealing with a Karmelis that will not be confused with a real Rishus HaRabim. In other words, there are two different types of Karmelis. There's a Karmelis that can be confused with the Rishus, like a street, a regular street. You go into the street, there are cars, there are people walking, there are stores. So technically speaking, is this called Rishus Rabim? No! You don't have 600,000 people. You don't have all of the conditions. It's not more foolish. It's not this, it's not that. You don't have all the conditions. But it's pretty good. You know, you can fool me. I go outside. I see a lot of movement. A lot of people are running around. You can fool me. That type of karmelis is where the Rambam is machmir. It's where there's grounds to be machmir. But if you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're in a desert, or you're in some type of ghost town, and there's no movement, there's no activity, and the only reason why it's called a Carmelist is because it's a Carmelist, but it's not a Carmelist that will be confused with the real Rishus Rabim, then even the Rambam is lenient. And the Rambam holds that you're allowed to do what this little guy here is doing, pour water directly into this thing. Let's see the page 2, Vidaf, the next page, page 3, Vidaf, Carmel, Shiv, Betoich, Ear. Carmelist in the city, the Nichlaf, the Rishus Ram Atzma. Even Bizman Azeh, we don't have a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, generally speaking, certainly not in Radin, there was no Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. Aval Karmelis, but we're dealing with a Karmelis Shem Chutz L'ir, that's out in the middle of nowhere. Or let's say you're dealing with a real Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It's a real Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The only reason why you're not allowed to pour the water into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid is because there's no Eruv Chatzeros. The courtyard that you want to pour the water is shared by a group of people, and your home is for yourself, so it's forbidden. Shori, then even the Rambam will agree that it's mutter l'chatchila to do what this person is doing, to pour water directly into the bib and let it flow into the oven, to the rishus, outside of which is a karmelis, which would not be confused with the rishus harabim d'oraisa. That is mutter. Okay, the ear, then he concludes, what about you have a real city? So this is coming, he's just trying to make a third category of karmelis. It's very interesting. See, even though this halachas over here, it's not a gay, I mean, you can extract this when you're dealing with other type of situations. He's making a third category of karmelis. You have a city, so you walk out into the street, it looks pretty good. It can fool me, it looks like a real Rishus Rab. But you don't have all the conditions. But it's a city that has a wall. I can't see the wall. The wall is a mile away. But the city, by definition, is such a city where it's not shaykh for it to be called a Rishus Harabim Daraisa, because we learned in the beginning of this chelik that a city that has a wall, it cannot be a Rishus Harabim. The doors are closed at night. V'ir mokev eschayim v'loy erevaboni, v'zor erevichatzeros, kichotzer she'enu merev estami, you can be lenient. It's also good. Even though it's a third type of karmelis. There's a karmelis, you have a city street. A city street, that's a karmelis, you have to be machmir. Because you can confuse that with a Rishus Haram Deraisa. Same exact city street. It looks exactly the same in the picture. But it's part of a city that has a wall. So I guess being there in the back of your mind, you know that there's a wall out around here, you can be lenient. That type of karmelis is mutter. And that's no different than the third category of karmelis, which is when you're out in the middle of nowhere, in a field, or in a courtyard somewhere where there's no activity, that certainly is mutter. Now he has one more case. Let's say you have this pipe. Now in this example, in the previous picture, previous page, the pipe, this cesspool is below ground. Let's say it's above ground. It's a pipe. It's a pipe, or it's some type of sort of flat, horizontal surface where the dirty water runs above ground, and it's above three tzvachim. So it's not part of the Rishus Harabim. It has the status of a Mekayim Pitur, but at the very end of this pipe, it flows into the Rishus Harabim. So what would you say on your own without looking in the Rambam? You would say it's awesome. Because you're pouring from a Rishus HaYachid, it's flowing on a pipe that's a Mekoyim Pitur, but it's continuous motion. It's not rest. If it would come to rest on the Mekoyim Pitur, there'd be Mutter L'chatchila. Right? Everyone agrees if you go from a Rishus HaYachid to a Mekoyim Pitur, that's Mutter. But you're pouring dirty water in the Rishus HaYachid onto this pipe, and the pipe it's flowing on a Mekoyim Pitur, and when it gets to the end of the pipe, it falls into a Rishus HaRabim. So even though it's true, you went in the middle through a Mekoyim Pitur, but it's in constant movement, and constant movement, we should be machmir. We should say it's like you went from Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. When it comes to dirty water, Chazal were lenient. And they allowed you to pour from a Rishus Yachid to a Rishus Rab over a Mokai Mbatur, even though it's continuous motion. That's a very big chiddush. It's above 10 tfachim. Sh'ayvim ha'mayim derech mekoyim petur lekarmelis. The tzinor is above 10 tfachim. Above 10. And why does he say, we'll see the Mishnah Berurah in 1 second, above 10. Sh'ayvim ha'mayim derech mekoyim petur lekarmelis. It's traveling through a mekoyim petur to a karmelis. Indo, so here it's only going where it's going directly. I have to take it back, and not into a Rosh Hashanah. I made a mistake. Into a Carmelis, yesh lahakel. In this situation, you can believe the chaynikel. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah Ches. Mishnah Berurah Ches. Vinat sinu rotzolayma. Sheat sinu mehamikalech mayim bekarmelis. Hu lemalo measara. It's above 10 tefachim. Now we learned that a Carmelis only extends. That's why it must be above 10 tefachim, because it's not in a Rosh Hashanah. If you're in a Carmelis, the avir of the Carmelis extends automatically to a height of 10 tefachim. VMK in oiver hamayim derech mekoyim petur. So now that this area is above 10 tefachim, this tzinar, it's no longer in the ear space of a Carmelis. You have a pipe. Make it very simple. You have a pipe. The water, you're pouring water in your home. Your home, the water starts out in a Rishus Sayachit. It passes through a pipe. The pipe is going through a Carmelis. It's above 10 tefachim above the ground. The ground of a Carmelis only extends to 10 tefachim. So above 10 tefachim, you are in a Mekoyim Petur. And then the water at the very end comes to rest and pours out onto the ground of the Carmelis. So you've gone from a Rishus Hayachid to a Carmelis through a Mekoyim Petur, and nowhere did the water come to rest in the Mekoyim Petur. The water continuously flows through the Tzinar. So you would say it's awesome. I mean, I think the average person would guess if it's not resting in the Mekoyim Petur, it's forbidden. Just like if you walk, if you pick up an object in the Rishus HaYochid, and you walk through a Mekoyim Petur, you do not stop, and you come to the Rishus, and you put it down in the Rishus, I'm Chayif. Why am I Chayif? I've gone from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus through a Mekoyim Petur. If you would stop in the Mekoyim Petur, then it would be considered two separate actions. From Rishus HaYochid to Mekoyim Petur. From Mekoyim Petur to a Rishus Haram. But being that you did not stop, we only look at your Akir and your Hanacha. Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Haram. So here is the same thing. The water did not rest. The water was in continuous movement through the Mekoyim Petur before it came to the Carmelis. No. Dirty water chazavolin again. Mishnah Berurah chafches retzolaima shatzina makleich mayim bekarmelis hu lemalam yasara v'yimkein ever hamayim derech mekoyim betur muter lishbech afilu b'mischavin sheyerdu hamayim lekarmelis v'haynu afilu das hamachmirim leel b'simin shin mem vav sif aleph derech mekoyim betur. Even though normally you're not allowed to travel through walking, when it comes to walk, you're not allowed to walk through a mekoyim betur into a Carmelis. Hachad lezorik luhu mamish. Here you're not throwing something, but it's koichai. You're not. The reason why we are lenient in this instance is because when it comes to the Carmelis, when it finally comes to rest, it was through koichai. It was an indirect movement. I poured water in the Rishus Hayochit. It only came to rest in the Carmelis indirectly. That was the entire principle of the sugya. Why in all these cases are we leaning? Because when you pour the water, when this little guy is sitting in his Rishus and he pours the water, he's only doing an action in the Rishus HaYochid. It happens to come and rest in the Rishus HaRabim. That's not my problem. That's my koyach. That's only also Midr al-Bonin. So we can create a certain set of conditions where the land is absorbent and there's enough area and it doesn't have to happen, then we'll lean in afil lechatchila. But even in the worst scenario, if the water would, the area where the cesspool is less than dalet amos, it would be, technically, it would be more because it's koichai. So here we have another factor working in your favor, where you're traveling through a mekoyim petur, even though there is no resting, it's always in movement, and normally when it's always in movement, that we don't consider the mekoyim petur. When we combine all of these factors together, it's very important. You said in halacha, in psak halacha, you go to a rav. So the rav, you learn shulchan aruch, and you learn many things are by themselves are not enough to be matir. But when you combine a collection of weaknesses in a given situation, the together, even though each one alone is not enough, together you can be makel. Here's exactly what we're saying. To go from a Rishus Hayochid to a Rishus Harabim to a Carmelis is Aser. Even if you pass through Mekoyim Petur, that is Aser. Koichai is Aser. If you go and you pour something in a Rishus Hayochid and through your Koichai will come to rest in a Carmelis, it's Aser. Two things which independently are Aser. But here we combine both of these things together. I'm going from a Rishus Hayochid through a Mekoyim Petur to a Carmelis, number one. Number two, I'm also going through, I'm also koichai, I'm doing it indirectly. When we combine both the factors together, all of a sudden it becomes mutar. A very interesting principle in psak halacha. Halacha is not like Gemara. Gemara is facts, lundis, halacha is combining, connecting the dots, connecting different situations, bottom line. So let's finish up the middle of Chav Ches. Lishbech afil b'mischavim sheyed amam l'chamel sayim afil das ha-machmim leo b'sinim shimim of sef sav derech mekoyim tu ha-cha doloi zork lu mamish elo koichoy yeish lo hokel v'chein ikor ayin b'rim agodim shem da'akol da'akol agor koi. When it says v'chein ikor over here v'chein ikor, he's going back on everything he writes in the Haggah about the three different types of carmelis. Three different types of carmelis. There's a carmelis that you can confuse with a Rishus Rabim. There's a carmelis that you can confuse with a Rishus Rabim, which we're leaning because there's a wall around the city, even though you don't see the wall. And then there's the carmelis, which you're not going to confuse with a Rishus Rabim, which is l'chatmut and l'chatril in all situations. So he's Hagah is following the Rambam. Generally, halacha l'maisa, when it comes to look, koichai is asur. And you have to take three steps back before you pour the water on the floor to seep into the hole. But if outdoors is a carmelis or a courtyard that dav erev chatzeres, then it's mutar lechatzila. Okay, a lot of very interesting yisoidos here in this siman. Now we go to the next siman. Din eze mekamos nikroim mukafim l'dir. Now we go to long siman yudalet zifim, which discusses what is called a carmelis, a rishus hayochid. There are two types of rishus that are candidates for rishus hayochid. That's an area that's enclosed for living purposes, and there is a rishus hayochid that's not been enclosed for living purposes. Now I think the best thing to do is to look at the hagdama from the dirshu. The dirshu is a very nice hagdama. It's one paragraph on the right side. It says there, Mishnah Yisrael Shinun Ches Hagdama. I'll just read the first paragraph. Huvu b'Gemara shechachamim tignu shemakom sheshutchoy yoytse mibeis sosayim, an area that's larger than a beis sosayim. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah that means the area is more than 5,000 square amos. That's all we need to know for now. 5,000 square amos, which generally is 70 by 70 amos. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah goes to the exact numbers. Make believe for right now that it's 70 by 70, which comes out to approximately 5,000 square amos. Even though there are walls, the only time you can carry inside of an enclosure four walls, if it's large, it's larger than 10,000 square amos, there are more conditions, 5,000 square amos, and the walls have to have been built l'shma. So we only think of l'shma when you put on the schach of your sukkah. You can't put the schach on l'shem mitzvah sukkah, right? You make tzitzis, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. When you make tefillin, when they prepare the hides for tefillin, they say l'shem mitzvah tefillin. L'shem, when you make your ritzuas black, l'shem kedushas tefillin. When you are matzah, l'shem mitzvah matzah. So believe it or not, when you build walls, you have to say l'shem mitzvahs, the wall should be l'shem dira. It's not in the raisa. These walls are being constructed for the purpose of living. If these walls are being erected for the purpose of not living, for the purpose, other purpose, we'll see for there's going to be a shomer, there's going to be a guardian, like a nice a big room, you know, not necessarily a big room, but a room that's 5,000 square amos. In order to put a shomer, you should have some nice quarters to guard the field outdoors, or it's a storage, it's a garage, or it's a playing field for children to play, but it's not for living purposes. The walls are not considered walls that create a Rishus Hayochid, and you're not allowed to carry inside this area on Shabbos more than Dalet Amos.
How is one with the term living?
Living?
Like a shul is a shul.
Excellent. So he discussed that. The Dirshu actually discussed that. He brings down a Chazon Ish, that the Beis HaKnesses is a very big problem. Why are you allowed to carry in a Beis HaKnesses? Beis HaKnesses has not been built for living. No one lives in a Beis HaKnesses. And according to all of the conditions that we come across soon, L'chor Beis HaKnesses does not qualify as a Rishus HaYachad that's been built for living. It's a big problem. The Chazon Ish says no, that the Chashivas of coming to Daven is equivalent to Dira. It's a Chiddush. It's not a given. It's not like, oh, it's like off the bat. It's a Chiddush. It's a very interesting thing. It's something we take for granted. Go to a shul, of course, you're indoors. What's the what is Rosh Hashanah? Really? A big shul? Every shul. This shul is more than Beis Hasayim, clearly. Really? There's someone living here in the shul? Someone lives here in the shul? No one, even if someone lives here, no one's living here for the purpose of living. What do you do? So coming for davening, to gather together, the purpose of davening and halach is considered equal to living. And it's a chiddush.
But there's an issue with
Beis Medrash
and
Beis Hakdeses. Beis Medrash, right. Beis Medrash is easier.
Mezuzah, not
Mezuzah. Correct, very good. A lot of the halachas are equivalent. He makes that analogy, and he quotes the Chazon Ish of there are many similarities in the laws of Mezuzah and the laws of what's called Hukaf Ladira. Excellent. You don't make a bracha when you put a Mezuzah on a shul. Put a Mezuzah on a shul, there's no bracha. You don't need a Mezuzah on a shul. It's only a hider. There's no requirement. It's not a place where people live. We put a mezuzah. There's no harm putting
it. To eat, to make a kiddush in the shul.
So Beis Medrash already is different. Mikra and Beis HaKnesses. We once learned this in the Daf Yomi. We learned in Yoni Daf Yomi that there's a chil between the Beis Medrash and the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to eat. It's forbidden. You're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to eat. The kiddush of a Beis HaKnesses is very strict.
Yeah.
A Beis HaMedrash.
Yes.
So that you can do. There are things you can do. Today, even the Bata Kinesias are built al Tanai. That's what the Shtibel.
Yeah, so Rabbi Greenberg insisted that this be built
al Tanai.
Right?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Every shul today, that's how the way they based the assumption is today. Every shul, that's a Shtibel. What's a Shtibel? A Shtibel, I don't know what does it mean. What's
the
exact
room,
a small little house.
So a shul is called a Shtibel. I mean, the Chassidim. Why? Because that basically means it's a Tanai. This room, no matter how beautiful, how expensive the Kodesh and the Bima, how many Sram we have, this is not to be built with the sanctity of Beis HaKnesses. Because then we couldn't talk here, and we couldn't eat, we couldn't have our Kiddush, we couldn't talk, we couldn't sleep when the rabbi speaks. we couldn't do all these things. It would be forbidden. So it's built al Tanai. It's built al Tanai that it should be a Shtibel. That's what Shtibel is. So, okay, if you're not from the Hasidic world, from the literal world, especially today, certainly in Brooklyn, all the shuls are built in the form of a Beis Medrash. But even go out of town where they have these magnificent Bata Kinesios with the pews, and they're gorgeous. And that's where they daven, and learning kamat never takes place there. Learning is done in the Beis Medrash in a different section. You come here for service. Even there, you know, they have lectures and they have all these political events or whatever. It's also built, l'chayr, it should be built out tonight, that you can do there whatever you want. So that's a very good point. That point is made. That is made. He tell you, if you want to go look over here, he says, look on the left side, on the dirshu. The dirshu section on the right page. I didn't get to the Hagdam, but you look over there, you jump there. It's the second paragraph. Ubei sakneses. That's large in the base of Sayim. Mavu beprimigodim lekamon. Sheim hu besoch hekif hoir. Harei nechshav mukaf ledira. If it's inside the city, okay, that's getting into technical details, which we'll learn in the Mechaber and the Ramah. The imhu chutz lechayim asoir. You hear this? If the shul is outside the city, the walls of the city. Harei hu karmelis. That means you're not allowed to carry in the shul more than Dalet Amos. You have your place, you have your shtender, your pew, where your sitter is, and that's where you stand. The Sefer Torah cannot be taken from the Aron. That's what it says. That's the lesson Dalet Amos. Elosh Zed Toli Ha'im Karfif Mekor Nechshav Karmelis. You get another issue, there's a roof. Okay, there's another issue, you get to a Karmelis. V'rei Masha Kosavnu B'zeh L'Halon Ulam. Who comes to the rescue? The Chazon Ish. Das HaChazon Ish. Shebeis HaKnesses Nechshav Mukaf Ledira Mishum HaShimosh Shebom L'Shom L'Hisfala. But the Prima Godim says no. The Prima Godim says there are certain, if you have a Beis HaKnesses, the Yuchud for Tzvila, and it's not inside the city. As Dominic in ancient times, the Beis HaKnesses was not in the city, it was out in the field. That's how they built it on purpose. You cannot carry in the Beis HaKnesses more than Dalet Amos, and that would mean that Sefer Torah L'Chara, they I don't know how they did it. They're not allowed to take the slaves out of the Aron to the Bima. More than Dalet Amos. That's what it says. That's the Prima Godim. Chazon Ish says, no such thing. You never heard such a thing like this before. Beis HaKnesses, but it doesn't fit the rules. Okay, we haven't even touched, even began the Siman. There are a certain set of rules of what's called a Karmelis. Doesn't fit the rules. doesn't fit the rules. It's pashat that the chashivas of coming to daven is called dira, but it's obviously prima galim. This is what to talk about here. I'll just finish. I want to finish very quickly. Let's finish. I want to finish the hagdama. Okay, it's a very important hagdama. Go very very quick. Back to the hagdama on the Sunday. We'll stop. Who the Gemara? Shacham tiknei chamakam shatchul yosim esu saim afshu mukuf luchitz emlo yidin mishterat yishniyachid elin kain who misham mishudiyah hukav luchitzas l'shem kach. It's only called a rishus hayachid where you're allowed to carry inside more than the lamas if the walls have been built with the kavana. People inside this room will live. If you build this structure for not living purposes, and then you change your mind, all of a sudden, you know what, let's make this garage, we'll make the garage into an apartment, and we'll rent it out, doesn't matter. Even though you can bring all the furniture, you can bring the bed, you can build the bathroom, it doesn't make a difference. The walls that have been built, not for the purpose of matzah mitzvah, and it's not called a rishus hayachid. You're not going to carry. You have to knock down the wall. You have to knock. Yeah, we're going to learn. Or you have to do something. You have to make significant change in the walls to upgrade the walls to the status that it's now being put up l'shem dira. Okay, it's not a ge'al lach l'maisa for us for many reasons. We'll see. We have to go, but get the raw halacha. There are many exceptions, of course, but these are the basics. Yeah.
To circumvent somebody's zoning laws.
Yeah.
People have a garage built into their house, and then when they get the C of O, they change it into a living quarters. So that this rule applies to that.
Okay, we have to see. It's true. Now look what it says in the fourth one. V'yesh v'zeh shnei klolim, shamokai mishamesh l'shima shal dira. It must be living. Kegoyin shebeis dira pasuach l'shem. Kegoyin shebeis dira pasuach l'shem, k'mo yachatzeris v'rechovah shlutnei abatim. What's called living quarters? Living quarters does not mean you actually have a bed indoors. The door of your home opens into this courtyard. See, we always think of the carfay. We learn many times the carfay is, like I told you, friends, Midwood Field. Big open field with a fence around it. That's true. That qualifies. But that's not the case that Shulchan Aruch is talking about. The case Shulchan Aruch is talking about, Ruba de Ruba, 90% of the time, is a courtyard in front of your home. You have your home, you have your bias, and in front of your bias, there's a fence around the front yard. So what's the problem? The problem is, if it's the front yard, and the door of your home opens, or any door from your home opens into this courtyard, automatically the courtyard is considered an extension of your home. But if this courtyard is built around the side of your home, and there is no door of your home leading into the courtyard, that enclosure is not hook off this. It all depends if there's a door of the home. It goes without saying if it's built in the middle of nowhere. That's the claim. But then the case over here is always where there's a courtyard that's being built around part of your home. Is there a door of your home leading into the courtyard? Yes, no, that is the issue.
So you have a door going into your garage.
Yes, that automatically the garage will be absolutely.
Oh, so then you convert it into
absolutely
a
right. But it has to be a door going into the garage. I mean, most garages in Flatbush, from what I see, there is no, it's separate, not connected, separate. And they're not necessarily, most garages in Flatbush, from what I understand, are not 5,000 square meters, so it's not an issue. It's not. And also, when you're in the basic reason why it's not a problem is because when you're in a place, the Mishnah will say, of a residential area, any enclosure automatically is the get there hook of the deer. Only time you don't say it's hook of deer is when you're in the fields. Now when you're in a residential area. So finish up this Hakdama. That's condition number one. Shemay Misham is Lashim Shaldir, Goyin Shabes Deer, Pasuch, Lashem Gomorrah Chatzeris, and Rechavish Lofne Abatim. Shaoz Kolomachim Nitbal Lashim Shadira. And let's jump to Beis. And Beshek, if a Machitz Nasa Lashem Kach, they were put up for the purpose of Deer. Masha Ein came. If you put up walls, not l'shem dira, v'rak la'acham ikayim poschei l'shem dira, and then you decide you can make this into a dira, it's no good. You have to knock down a wall and rebuild the wall l'shem dira. U'l'chein, tell, a mound, a neka, or a ditch, shalo yukaf bidei adam, ela bidei shalom. Let's say you have a crater in the earth. Right, you have a crater, or you have some mound, which is, happens to be a rishus hayacha, because there are walls, or there's a steep incline. Im hu yoytsim beis hasayim harei hu karmelus, doesn't make a difference. Afal pi shebeis tira pesuach l'sham, since these craters, these natural craters, or natural steep hills, even if you have someone living there, or there is connected to a bias, it doesn't matter because it was not Hashem, when he built this crater or this mountain that came into existence, it was not erected for the purpose of living. Just because now you come along and you do, it's not going to help. It remains the status of a carmelist.